The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Think you know what the Maryland wine scene is all about? We invite the wine curious to join the Maryland Winery Association and Baltimore Magazine for Weird Wine, celebrating over 35 of our local winery's most peculiar blends. Come along as we take a peek into the curious world of Maryland wine on Sunday, May 5th at the Union Collective in Hamden. For more information, visit marylandwine.com.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and with me today, back from Italy, is our food and dining editor, Jane Marion.
Buongiorno.
How was it?
It was amazing. Awesome. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear all about your food experiences.
Hard to sum it up, but I'm still smiling.
Good. You definitely are. I can attest to it. But yeah, let's get into some food news first before we get into all of the exciting Italy recaps. So this week we found out that Chad Goss of the Food Market is opening a snowball stand.
That's so perfect.
Like, are we surprised?
So no. Chad, yes. Baltimore boy through and through.
Yes. And he's just, like you said, so committed to the Baltimore staples. And he has fun with everything that he does. We recently saw him open Tiger Style, which is this like alleyway DIY stir fry.
Asian fusion.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It seems like he's going a little bit for, you know, a lower, not lower end exactly, but just a lower price point.
Yes.
Market.
Yes.
Food Market can get pretty pricey.
Right.
And even La Food Market is a little bit more expensive, but mm-hmm. Tiger Style is definitely like, you know, street food, and now this.
So. Yeah. And this is all in the neighborhood, too. So this is going to be, it's called Quality Snowballs, and it's actually a 10-foot shipping container. It's not too big, and it's just across the street from the food market in the parking lot. It's like more of like a little parking mm-hmm. strip off of the alley. There's like a corner building on the corner of 36 and Hickory Avenue, I think, that is a church building. And they planted this little shipping container. I saw a picture of it. It was muraled by a local artist named Paige Orpin that they are going to sell snowballs out of.
That's and perfect.
It's so perfect.
And but it won't compete with the Charmer either, I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Because they really don't do snowballs. They just do ice cream.
I was thinking about it. There's definitely plenty of dessert on the avenue, but the snowball stand sounds like it's definitely going to be kind of the first of its kind. And knowing Chad, of course, you know, we'll see the egg custard with marshmallow, but he puts his own spin on everything.
Yeah,
so,
he's super creative.
So I was talking to him about some of the snowball flavors that he's experimenting with. He talked about banana Oreo, strawberry shortcake, jerk cup, coconut cream pie, creme brulee, and he also was talking about a s'mores flavor where he's going to torch the marshmallow, play on marshmallow fluff.
Fun.
So I think that this is going to be a great addition. It's slated to open on May 1st, so literally right across the street from the food market, and he gave me a really good quote where he was just saying, he was talking about opening in the neighborhood, and he said, Hamden's kind of like our playground,
yeah.
You know, we just like to have fun.
Yours too. Does he know you live in Hamden?
I think he does. I'm not sure. I'm sure I've mentioned it at some point, but yeah, it is my personal playground now too. So I'm excited to check it out, opening on May 1st. And kind of in that same vein, we're seeing temperatures warm up, so a lot of outdoor patios are reopening or opening for the season. The LB Sky Bar, which is on the 19th floor of the Lord Baltimore Hotel downtown, is reopening on Friday, April 26th. So this year they're doing things a little bit different. There's a new chef. Her name is Beth Denise, mm-hmm. And she's debuting a new menu of shareable plates. So you can look out for things like Old Bay chips with onion dip, pit beef bao buns.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Baltimore fusion.
Yeah. And shrimp kebabs with cilantro aioli. So lots of new dishes, and they're also going to be doing some new things with private parties and adding additional furniture and seating. So I've actually never been up there to the LB Sky Bar.
I was just about to say that. I know that the Lord Baltimore Hotel is a really beautiful space.
Yeah.
I think we even gave them best dining space 1 year just for the beauty of the opulence of the space, but I've never been up there either. I'm starting to think
this might be our year. Yeah, it sounds like a good time for it. And also we saw that Nuna's in Bolton Hill opened. It's a little 12-seat patio that overlooks the Mount Royal Station.
Nice. That'll be charming.
Yeah, and they also recently debuted a brunch menu. So lots of cool things to discover there. There's kind of like an Italian slant on their brunch menu. So ricotta pancakes, pancetta omelets, crispy confit potatoes. And they also have like $5 Prosecco on tap and all of the great brunch drinks. So,
yeah. You know, and Phil Hahn, we trust.
Yes.
admittedly, I went and I didn't have a great meal. I had a great drink, but I didn't have a great meal. I had pizza and it just felt like they were just trying to get up and running. So,
yeah.
I know they've made some changes.
New chef. Yeah. New we chef. Talked about this a couple episodes ago. Kai Lindman, who came from the Dabney in D.C., so he's, you know, he's got a great resume, and this outdoor patio sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I have to go back there. Sometimes it just takes a little time, and
right.
You can't go too early either.
That's right. You got to find that sweet spot. But speaking of Bolton Hill, there's also another new restaurant in the works that's going to be opening the week of May 20th. So this is actually a sister spot from the owner of Cafe Philly in Mount Vernon. So it's going to be on the bottom floor of the Jordan apartment building, which is brand new. I saw some renderings of the space. It looks absolutely beautiful. And their team sounds really interesting. They are going to be using Chef Andrew Thomas, who came from Donna's and the Elephant. And Hannah Baker is a Woodbury alum. She's going to be the bartender. Everybody's coming from Woodbury.
It's just, yeah. It is interesting.
Yes, yes. But I think Woodbury is such a great, you know, learning and launch pad for so many talented industry people.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of great menu staples, it looks like. They're planning on serving, I think it's going to be more like elevated pub food. Mm-hmm. So cedar salmon tagine, pretzel pork schnitzel, lamb ragu pappardelle, and buttermilk biscuits with bourbon chili glaze.
The United Nations on a menu.
I know. There. Yeah, very globally inspired. And they're going to have some nice cocktails. There's a single malt and whiskey and bourbon collection that's like 120 different bottles. So it seems like it's going to be really impressive, a good addition to Bolton Hill.
It seems like Bolton Hill is a little bit on the rise. Sometimes when I go over there, I'm not quite sure. Since B's closed, I always love
that
place.
That's right. Something's going in there. More to come. Yes.
Yeah. And then Riley's, I guess Riley's wasn't exactly Bolton Hill. It was the neighborhood over. But,
when it was like across from the Lyric.
From the Meyerhof. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah. So that area really could use some spots. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, also in true Baltimore spirit, I think, you know, it's not really uncommon for us to see our bars and restaurants really lend a hand in times of need. And Petit Louis in Roland Park is launching this fundraiser in the wake of the tragic fire at Notre Dame. So for 2 weeks, starting on April 22nd, the restaurant's going to be offering a special lunch and dinner menu. It's going to be $59, and part of all proceeds are going to go towards the reconstruction efforts.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, Cindy and Tony both love France. In particular, Cindy Wolf, she goes there. I think she's been there like 30 times. She goes most Januaries for a couple of weeks at a time. And as far as I can tell, eats really like beautiful Michelin style meals almost every night that she's there. I always wonder where she, you know, how she can possibly do it. It really does look like work sometimes, but she is a Francophile through and through. And
yes.
I'm sure has taken this news to heart. So that's lovely.
Yes, it is. It is definitely. And, you know, anyone else who visits the restaurant over the next 2 weeks, they'll be collecting donations. So anything that you can give, feel free to donate there. And, you know, Jane, speaking of Europe, you were just in Italy. You know, how was that when you were there, you know, during when everything was happening with the cathedral?
We were just on a train coming from, we spent most of our time in Florence and in the Umbrian countryside, but we were taking a train from Florence to Rome when we heard the news on the train, actually.
Wow.
And saw you know, live footage, and I was just shock and disbelief, and of course your first thought is always terrorism, and
right, of course.
It was only a relief that it wasn't, but we felt a little bit out of the loop because our cell service was spotty, but And we don't understand Italian, so we don't know what anybody was saying around us.
Yeah.
But just knowing that it was a country away was, you know, was chilling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but the trip was wonderful.
Yes, on a lighter note, you know, you're kind of getting back and readjusting, but
yeah.
Like, how the food, I'm like just, yeah. I want to hear everything.
Well, you know, one of the things I hadn't been to Europe in many years. My sister lived in Italy for about 25 years in various places. But the things that you notice when you're younger, you know, stand out more for you when you're older. And the minute you sit down, they say wine, water in that order. And so I pretty much said yes to whatever they offered. I had wine at lunch and dinner.
Yes.
And what just struck me was how much they take their food so seriously. And all the food that you eat there is just so fresh and so beautiful. And it could just be a simple thing, but just so delicious. One of my favorite things that I ate, actually, was a panini in Florence.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
There's a place called Al Antico Vineo. I hope I'm saying it correctly. But
sounds right to me.
I had a truffle salami sandwich with fresh mozzarella, grilled artichokes, and eggplant.
That sounds so good.
But what I loved about the place was apparently it's so popular. The paninis are huge there. They're only €5, which is like less than $6. And people line up, and then they eat their sandwiches in the streets. Causing traffic jams. The roads are pretty narrow. And the carbonari, you know, couldn't get through. If there was an emergency, nobody could get down the street where the restaurant is. So they came up with an ordinance that people are not allowed to eat these paninis in the streets.
Oh, my goodness.
All because the restaurant is so popular.
That is so
funny. I thought only in Italy. But, of course,
only
nobody follows it. Everybody's eating the paninis in the streets. And it really is. It's like a block party on the street with paninis.
A panini block party. That is a party that I would love to attend. So it's just like a little shop, and there really isn't any sit down space.
No, you stand in line.
Okay.
Right, you stand in line. You order. One of my favorite food moments was when we were in the countryside. We took a cooking lesson.
Oh, fun!
And we cooked for 3 hours, and then we ate what we cooked. We made pasta with artichoke. I love artichokes.
Uh-huh.
So with a mirepoix sauce and including artichokes. And we made focaccia with rosemary and sea salt. We made a mini pizza that was amazing, just a margherita pizza with basil and buffalo mozzarella. We made tiramisu.
All the classics.
And bronzino wrapped in potatoes, shredded potatoes that actually kind of tasted like a latke.
Oh, okay.
But the fish was encased in the potato crust. So that was really fun, working with the chef. And we were all, I was with a group of friends, and we were all varying degrees of, you know, struggling with, you know, with just kneading the dough. And so a few of my, I was going to say classmates, my friends, you know, the chef would come over and we'd say, how do you know when it's done? And he would just touch it and he would say, perfetto, perfetto.
Oh,
and I'd say, well, what about mine? And he'd say, yours needs work.
Oh, my goodness. Literally listening to you describe that menu, I'm like salivating. It sounds amazing.
It was actually one of the best meals that we ate in this farmhouse.
That's
he was
great.
Cooking, Domenico, the cook, was cooking for us the whole time. But after that, I would just go in and just watch him cook, hoping to pick up some more tips. He showed me how to cut an artichoke, which is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
In America, I eat the whole artichoke. They don't do that there. You know, I eat the leaves and all. He was sort of cringing at the idea, but I pick the leaves, scrape the meat off with my teeth, and then I get to the heart. They only eat the heart.
Ah, interesting. I'm not a huge artichoke person, so this is like all news to me. But
so my husband, Mike, you know, has never liked artichokes, but he said that's because I was always, you know, giving him the part that they consider inedible.
Right.
Because he really loved the artichoke hearts, the way they prepared them with just a little bit of lemon and rosemary, steamed, basically.
And they steam them. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I was going to ask if they steam or they grill them.
And then I had a pizza in Umbria. Now, most of the pizza actually is more towards Rome, but they know that people like pizza. It's Italy.
Mm-hmm.
The food there is so regional that you really don't see a lot of pizza where I was. But we went to this place where it was in the middle of the countryside. I'm pretty sure the people lived upstairs. We all got different kinds of pizzas and just, you know, shared them. But the dessert pizzas, which
Wait, I know. I have to ask you about this.
And it wasn't touristy either.
I saw a photo that you posted, and I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
So what was on? It was sweet.
So it was a regular pizza crust, mm-hmm. so that was savory. And then there was one with tiramisu, the ingredients of a tiramisu on top, so the mascarpone cheese,
amazing.
The powdered cocoa. It was so indulgent and so delicious. I went home and took a nap, and I was done that day.
Wow. I would feel the same way. But not touristy. I thought that was interesting.
No,
you mentioned
not at
that.
All. It was okay. Literally, we were in the middle of the countryside. We walked down the road. It was sort of like a neighbor's house. It was like if your neighbor decided to open up a restaurant and serve pizza.
I love
that. We were the only ones
that.
In there sitting in front of this crackling fire. Jugs of wine just kept flowing. And the other dessert pizza had white chocolate and fresh blueberries. There may have been something else on it. I'm not sure. But
that sounds like
it
an
was
amazing
phenomenal.
Duo. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. I'm listening to all of this, and I'm just like, you know, the way that you set the scenes and everything, I'm imagining it in my mind. It sounds so beautiful. I'm so happy you had such a great time.
I ate my weight in mozzarella and stracciatella, which is, you know, we say burrata here, but they do a lot of stracciatella, which is the creamiest part of the burrata, like the scent. Oozy center part.
Sounds so good.
So I didn't bring cheese home, but I did bring home some olive oils and some candies and biscotti from Florence for my
That's
sister.
That's so great. That's mm-hmm. so great. Oh, man. Everything that you're saying, it's awesome. It's making me want to book a ticket right now and go to Italy.
Go for it.
I should. That's so awesome. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Think you know what the Maryland wine scene is all about? We invite the wine curious to join the Maryland Winery Association and Baltimore Magazine for Weird Wine, celebrating over 35 of our local winery's most peculiar blends. Come along as we take a peek into the curious world of Maryland wine on Sunday, May 5th at the Union Collective in Hamden. For more information, visit marylandwine.com.
And we're back, and we can talk a little bit about what we're reporting this week. I actually wrote about Baltimore Cocktail Week, which is celebrating its 5th anniversary.
Salut.
It's crazy. Yes. There's actually lots of drink news this week, lots of brewery and distillery stuff. So Baltimore Cocktail Week has been around for 5 years. It's crazy. It feels like it's flown by. It's organized by Ginny Lawhorn, who is the lead bartender at Landmark Theater in Harbor East, and she's also the co-owner of Sticky Rice in Fells Point. And this year, she's teamed up with Amy Ward of Our Bar, mm-hmm. and she's the health tender, as lots of people in the industry love to call her.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, and they're focusing on wellness. So, you know, the programming for Baltimore Cocktail Week is kind of a 50-50 split between these really cool cocktail events for bar patrons to go and kind of celebrate the industry and how it's evolved. And then the other half is more catered toward the industry. So there's seminars specifically going along with the wellness theme this year on everything from pain management to making sure you're protecting your muscles behind the bar, to meal prepping for bartenders, and just kind of really focusing on mental and emotional health. And I know that that's something that has been, you know, plaguing the industry for a while. You covered it pretty in depth in a story that you wrote for our website that eventually ran online.
After Anthony Bourdain died, then we got the news that a local chef, Chris Becker, who was at Fleet Street Kitchen and had a Bagby, I guess corporate chef was his title for a while, that he had died allegedly of a drug overdose. That hit the community pretty hard, and so it inspired sort of a Kitchen Confidential, which was the name of Anthony Bourdain's tell-all memoir. So I sort of did our local kitchen. It was a Baltimore Kitchen Confidential story, and I talked to many local bartenders and chefs about the lifestyle in the kitchen and alcohol and drug addiction. And one of the things I said to one of the chefs was, you know, I'm in kitchens all the time. I talk to chefs all the time, and I've spent countless hours behind the scenes, and I felt like, wow, I really missed the story. I had no idea. It was such an eye-opener. There is a local chef, Sarah Akansha, who told me, sometimes she would have eight, nine drinks kind of on the house throughout her shift.
Wow.
Customers would come in and say, have a drink with me. And often they're not well compensated, so it's sort of a perk. And then the party continues long after, the work shift is done. And the lifestyles just really can be really unhealthy. So what's nice, though, is we are seeing people like Amy Ward, who you just mentioned, focusing on health, particularly for bartenders, where there's really a lot of alcoholism.
Yeah.
And
It's amazing. It's amazing that, she and Ginny have really kind of put this week-long program together to make sure that the industry feels supported and to know that there are these platforms out there to just like have conversations, first and foremost.
She won't let the people who work for her have a shift drink, which is sort of a common thing in the industry where you do your 8-10 hour shift and you get a drink at the end of it. Then she tells them they have to get out of uniform, they have to pay for their drinks. If that's what they want, that's fine, but they have to basically be patrons and not drinking on the job.
Yeah, that's interesting. Ginny was actually saying to me in our interview that she started providing kombucha for a lot of her workers to have for shift drinks instead of an alcoholic beverage, just because it's like kind of the same sensation, but not. It's definitely, something that has been adapted in her bar. And I know that, that's kind of part of the shift in the conversation that's happening. And, Baltimore Cocktail Week is one of those great platforms, like I said. So it's really nice. It's happening next week. You can check out the blog on our website. And I know also in our May issue, kind of related, you have this amazing profile about Chef Ashish Alfred. Of Duck Duck Goose, who is such a survivor.
We don't hear a lot of positive stories about about people who lived the hard partying life that he lived. He's been sober for 5 years, but beginning when he was 8, he started abusing alcohol and drugs. He's was molested as a kid. His father was an alcoholic, is now a recovered alcoholic. He, alcoholism, of course, is very hereditary, so a lot was stacked against him. And he went off to cooking school with raging addiction. Nobody really, including himself, I think, understood the just really how ill he was. And somehow he made it through culinary school, opened up a restaurant in Bethesda, and the place tanked pretty much immediately because he was an addict. He even robbed his own safe at one point of $5,000 to get heroin. Uh-huh. And his mother basically found him and dragged him to rehab in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But he's an amazing guy, super talented chef. I watched him work at Duck Duck Goose in the kitchen, and one of the really exciting things for him is that he feels he's a much better chef now that he's sober.
Yes.
His plates are cleaner, his thinking is clearer, and even though he was even when he was afflicted, he was still a pretty good chef and a good student, but now he's really able to do it with a clear mind, and he's still, to stay on the straight and narrow. He really works at it every single day.
Yeah, and he's so accomplished. He's so talented. He cooked at the Beard House, which is a huge achievement.
With his mother by his side.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. It's just, really nice that Baltimore Cocktail Week is happening. And, it's good that we can kind of tell these stories and, of course, see there being support in the industry.
Yeah, and it is somebody like him, you wonder, how do you not just get out of the industry? How do you stand at the bar when how are you?
And overseeing drinks going out every
single night. He acknowledges, he says there's some days when, the bartender, the dishwasher quits and you don't even have clean dishes. And God, do you want to drink that day? But you just think, what's the next right thing that I need to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a great story. It's in our upcoming May issue for everybody who wants to check it out. And yeah, well, speaking of restaurants and Duck Duck Goose and all of the great food that he's producing.
I saw you had a home-cooked meal.
I did. Well, my friends Rachel Lipton and Michelle Boyle, so Rachel's Instagram handle is Like The Tea Eats. She's a really great food photographer, and she's someone who we've covered in the magazine before. They invited me over for dinner last
night.
They're so sweet. Yeah, it was such a great little dinner party. And Michelle is such a great cook. She made a chicken tagine dish.
Oh, yeah.
It was a one-pot meal, so she kind of just, like, threw all of these amazing spices and ingredients together. So it was a lot of Moroccan notes, so there were some dates that were mm-hmm. sweet and olives, which typically aren't my favorite thing.
Oh, I love them.
But they were great in this dish, and there was some squash, and they served it over some rice. And
so was it just the three of you?
Just the three of us.
Oh, that's lovely.
They're just such great people, and they're really, you know, like food people. You know, when you find people, you can just like talk about restaurants.
But they must really like you. What an act of love to invite you over.
I felt so honored to be invited over.
They're probably intimidated.
I don't think so. But, you know, they just love entertaining, and they love having people over. They have this beautiful apartment. And Michelle is also a baker. She has an Instagram, Batter with Michelle, and she actually made for dessert her own iteration of Baltimore cookies. So she made a really thin, like, spin on an Otterbein chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, wow.
And then she also made her own burger cookies.
I'm so impressed.
Like, who does that? She's amazing. That's a wonderful passion that she has for that craft.
Yeah. Did you meet them when you did your social network story?
That's how I met Rachel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so
About the impact of Instagram and social media.
Yeah, that was about a year ago at this point. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little longer, because we started the reporting, before it was actually published, obviously. So I've known them for a while, and it's always nice to see them out and about, and they're just such great people and such, you know, ambassadors for the city, and they love Baltimore. They love Baltimore restaurants, and I was really honored that they had me over.
That's
that was definitely my best
awesome.
Bite.
Wow.
It wasn't from a restaurant, but I guess it could have been.
Yeah.
It was that kind of quality.
Wow.
But I'm excited to hear about your best bite this week.
Well, I mean, my best bite is funny. I had so many best bites, but I'll just tell you about one thing that I loved that I didn't talk about yet, which was limoncello.
I love limoncello.
Had several times, but there's actually someone in our office who makes it too.
Really?
Well. Yeah, Michael.
I had no idea. That's really interesting. I was actually telling Rachel and Michelle last night, I've been on like a lemon kick.
Yeah.
I've been putting lemon in my water.
Yeah.
I guess it's a change in the season.
Yeah. But anyway, I had it at the airport, the Hilton in Rome. We're going out early the next morning, so we stayed at the Hilton in Rome, which actually had this fabulous restaurant. It was just the Hilton, restaurant. But
wow.
Yeah. But the limoncello is from Sicily. And it was delicious. It was perfectly cold and lemony and fresh. I don't like frozen limoncello. I don't think they do that in Italy.
Right. It's more, yeah.
And then we also had cacio pepe, which is a traditional Roman dish, which I think I was just happy to see that after all the Tuscan food, where they're very heavy on prosciutto and salami, and I was just happy to see a different kind of a dish.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Roman macaroni and cheese. Lots of pepper.
Amazing.
But the limoncello was just divine.
That's nice. I mean, you had so much when you were there, so it must be hard to just like pick one best bite, but that's good that sticks out in your mind.
Yeah, I had a hard-boiled egg for lunch today. It was really sad.
I'm telling you, Jane. I'm
With all due respect to Whole Foods Salad Bar.
I'm literally about to go sit down at my desk and research trips to Italy. You've inspired me, and I'm so happy that you had a good time. I'm happy that you're back. So thank you so much for joining me this
Thanks,
week.
Thanks, and ciao.
Yes. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This is actually the last week to pick up a copy of our April issue on newsstands before our May issue hits stands. So check that out, and also check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com. Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.